time while you're in the book of Ruth. And while you're doing that, Children's Church is dismissed to go. So if you have a child in Children's Church, follow the crowd. They're headed up the center aisle in that way, and they'll head over to the Children's Church room. And for this morning, in your Bible, in the book of Ruth, and we're going to take it's the eighth book in the Old Testament, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. If you want to find your place there in the Scripture, you don't hear many messages from the book of Ruth, but today God has laid the book of Ruth on my heart today. You know, you think today is Valentine's Day, and so congratulations to all of you on Valentine's Day, and trust it'll be a special day for you and for your family and your spouse and your relationship, and so praise the Lord for that. You know, it's always good to hear a good love story. I appreciate what Ron and Debbie did there, sharing a little bit of theirs with us this morning. I had asked our Sunday school class, and two, three of them raised their hands, and I knew they had met young, but I didn't know this young. But Jim and Dixie met at age 2. Now that's young, and started their relationship and got married. Been married, what'd you say, 68 years? 68 years, and so others shared in Sunday school, and I think it's always exciting to hear somebody's love story, their family, how God brought two people together, and how important that is. You know, the Bible has some good love stories in them also. You want to read a good love story book? Go to the Bible. And I think about the first love story would be Adam and Eve. What a unique relationship for Adam that God reached down and took the dust of the ground and created man. And the Bible says, breathed into the nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And then he needed a helpmate. And so God then created and put Adam into a deep sleep, and took one of his ribs and created woman and brought the two together as husband and wife. Now, I'll tell you what, it doesn't get any better than that in a love story, in a relationship. I think they're the only ones that can testify to that kind of a relationship and that marriage and that harmony together. And so that's exciting to look at Adam and Eve in the very beginning. I think not too long after Adam and Eve, we see in the life of Abraham and Sarah another great love story in the Bible. Abraham, the father of the Hebrew nation, and God had given to him Sarah, and what a unique relationship through that. And through Sarah came the promised seed of Israel, and gave her Isaac, and through Isaac and then through Jacob, and came the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, we see another great love story there in the Bible with Abraham and Sarah. And then you got to, of all things, one of the favorites in the Bible, you got to look at it sometime. If you want to read another good love story, go and look at it and take time to read it over in Genesis on Jacob. And Jacob and Rachel, what a great Bible story there. And it's really interesting story as it unfolds, because Jacob went to work for Laban for Rachel, worked 7 years. But then was given Leah for his wife. And he didn't want Leah for his wife. He wanted Rachel. So then he had to work another 7 years. How would you like that? And work in that. And so what a unique relationship that God had through Jacob and through Leah and then through Rachel. Now what's interesting, that out of that seed and out of that relationship came the 12 sons, or came the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. So what an important love story that really is, that down from that then gives us the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. And then the Old Testament, the one I want to preach from today, is from the book of Ruth. And I would add a fifth one in there from the New Testament. And we just came through Christmas with the great love story of Joseph and Mary. And how much, it just doesn't get any better than that. And that and Joseph, and how God had given to Mary the Son of God and the virgin born a woman of Mary, and brought that relationship together, and how Jesus came into the world and was born of a virgin. I think it's one of the greatest story of all the Bible. But today I want to focus on this, and I titled the message today, Our Kinsman Redeemer. Our Kinsman Redeemer. And what a great love story here. Now you're going to see, you know, a lot of times the love stories have a little twist and turns along the way. You see tragedy. We're going to see that here a little bit in the Bible story today that revolves around Naomi. We're going to see some things that went on in her life, and then the sons, and then the daughter-in-laws, and of which Ruth was one. But when you think of, I just kind of want to identify so you can understand today. We're going to be reading in Ruth chapter 1 there in verse 1 in just a moment. But you might say, well, what is, if you've been a Bible student very long, you kind of probably already know what a kinsman redeemer is. But if you don't, let me just share with you and kind of clarify in our minds this morning, what is a kinsman redeemer? The kinsman redeemer in the Bible is a male relative who, according to the laws of the Bible, the Pentateuch, the Old Testament, had the privilege or the responsibility to act on behalf of a relative who was in trouble or danger or need. Well, that's where we find Naomi was, because Naomi's husband starts out in the Bible, dies. And she's left with her two sons, and then two daughter-in-laws, and then the two sons die. So we find here, when you look at the Hebrew term for the kinsman redeemer, designates one who delivers or one who rescues. So we're going to see in this text of Scripture here, Boaz is the kinsman redeemer. And so what we find interesting, and it comes to redeem, the kinsman who redeems or vindicates a relative is illustrated most clearly here, I think, in the book of Ruth, and the kinsman redeemer, as we said, we're going to see in this Bible story, in this love story today, is of Boaz. But the story of Ruth here and Boaz really begins when Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi, I have an aunt, my father's youngest sister is named Naomi. And so it kind of has a special meaning to me, but when you look at it, Naomi, and they returned to Bethlehem from Moab, where they had been living, and Naomi's husband, Elimelech here, and both their sons, one of the husbands of Ruth, had died. And leaving the women were left penniless and without, in the Bible, what you call a male protector, somebody to protect them. And so what you find, upon arriving in Bethlehem, Naomi then sends Ruth to glean in the fields of Boaz. And this wealthy, Boaz was a wealthy relative of Naomi, and to whom they, through a series of divinely appointed circumstances, then made their appeal to Boaz as to be the protector, to be the shield, to be the one to watch over Ruth. And we'll see how that comes together. And then finally, he takes Ruth as his wife. Now, where this gets to is the bigger picture in this love story is Yahweh, God, is the Redeemer, is Israel's Redeemer in the Bible. And the one who promises to defend and to vindicate the nation of Israel. And so he is both father and deliverer. Exodus chapter 20, verse 2. God is both the deliverer and the protector for the nation of Israel. And we know in the Bible there's numerous Old Testament appeals to God as a rescuer of the weak and the needy. We find that. And then a preserver of the sheep of the nation of Israel. God is always going to protect Israel. God is always going to have his hand upon the nation of Israel. And Yahweh, God, is always going to be there as the kinsman redeemer for the nation of Israel. Now, when you get to the New Testament, we're going to be in the Old Testament this morning, this message, but when you get to the New Testament, Christ is often regarded as an example of our kinsman redeemer because we find he redeems us because of our great need and one that can only be satisfied through salvation in Jesus Christ. So our kinsman redeemer today is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see this picture here in the Bible, and he's able to rescue and to protect and to bring salvation to the lost. And just as the Lord Jesus bought for himself and took us out, away from the curse and out of our destitution and allowed us to have eternal life and put us on the right path, he is our kinsman redeemer. So we find here today, but let's see what happens here in the Scripture. And I'm going to stay close to the Bible on this so you can understand what's taking place here. Book of Ruth, chapter 1. And this is Ruth, and it's saying here, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled." That's important to keep in mind. "When the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land." Another important part here. "And a certain man in Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, and he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. The name of his two sons was Mahlon and Chilion, Epaphrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. Now you got to keep in mind, the story, the setting is taking place here. You go back up there and you see as they're sojourning, they're looking, there's a famine in the land. These are difficult days. These are challenging times. And now Naomi's there, which is very important that her husband is her protector. And he dies. And the Bible says she, Naomi, was left and her two sons. And they, the two sons, took them wives of the women of Moab. And the name of the one was Orpah. And the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. So keep in mind the setting as they're there. They've now lost, she's lost a husband. They've lost their father. And then shortly thereafter, Mahlon and Chilion, in verse 5, they died. You know, it's one thing to lose your spouse, another thing to lose your children. And now Naomi's lost everything. She's lost her husband, she's lost her two sons. It says, and they died also, both of them. To lose one is one thing, to lose both, that's another. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. So then she arose with her daughters-in-law. Now, it's important to point out here that, you know, a lot of times jokes are made about daughter-in-laws or mother-in-laws or whatever, but this relationship was pretty unique and very good. And I was blessed. I was in a family, married, and my mother-in-law has been a huge blessing. She's still alive down in Irving, Texas today. I thank God I have the greatest mother-in-law in all the world, and I wouldn't trade her for anything. These mother-in-law relationships, they do work in a lot of good circumstances. And here it worked. And look what happens right here. She arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Remember, the famine was going on. And wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law. Now, Naomi's ready to kind of split, you know. I mean, her sons are gone, her husband is gone, and she's now getting where she's ready to release her daughter-in-laws. So she says to them in verse 8, go, return each to her mother's house. In other words, go back home, go back to your family. And the Lord deal kindly with you as you've dealt with the dead, which would be Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion, and with me. And the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each one of you in the house of her husband. And then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice, and they wept. And they said to Naomi, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again. She says it again. Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Good question. Interesting, isn't it? In the Bible. Why would you want to go with me? My husband's gone. Your husbands are gone. Go back home. Go back home to your family. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? She's saying, I'm now older in years. I'm not going to bear any more children. I'm not going to raise any more sons up that you can wait after a period of years and marry one of them. So go back home. Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I'm too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope in verse 12, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? So Naomi was making a good strong point again, and she said, would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Now you got to think what's gone through Naomi's mind. You know, sometimes every once in a while as a pastor, I run into something occasionally, and somebody will ask me, Pastor, why did this happen to me? Why am I going through this? And it could be the death of a loved one, it could be a major crisis, could be, what have I done to deserve this? Sometimes you don't have any, and people ask questions. And sometimes people get bitter towards God when they lose a loved one, or they get bitter towards God in difficult circumstances of life, and they want to blame God for what they're going through. Don't do that. God allows and God permits and God brings. And so Naomi, you can kind of sense her a little bit here that she's kind of saying, you know, this is hard. I lost my husband. Now I lost my two sons. You go back home to your families. I'll be all right. But it says here, for it grieveth me much for your sake that the hand of the Lord is going out against me. So she really thinks God has got something against Naomi. But notice the daughters-in-law here. They lifted up their voice. Now, you notice here it's kind of like you see two opposites. Notice what happens here. And wept again. But Orpha here kissed her mother-in-law, and Ruth clave unto her. Two different opinions, two different ways that they went on this. And she said in verse 15, behold, thy sister-in-law is going back unto her people. And notice this now, unto her gods, this is Orpha now, and return thou after thy sister-in-law. So here's Orpha. She returns. She wants to go back home. She wants to go back to the gods. She's going back to idolatry. She's not going to serve the Lord. While with Naomi, she would serve the Lord. But Ruth, in verse 16, said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, Ruth says, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. Totally two different positions, totally two different takes. And so Ruth says, I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to go with you, Naomi. I'm not going back home to my family. And I'm going to serve the God of Israel. Not so with Orpha. She chose to go back to those idolatrous gods. In verse 17, it says, and Ruth goes on to say, where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me even more also, if aught but death part thee and me. In other words, she's saying, I'm in this to the end. I'm not leaving. I'm staying with you, Naomi, all the way. And I'll serve your God and serve you. Well, you talk about a commitment. In verse 18, when she saw that she was steadfastly, Ruth was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her, and she just, okay, if that's what you're going to do, that's what you're going to do. So they went, the two of them, until they came to Bethlehem. In verse 19, it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi coming back home? Is this Naomi and her family? Where's her husband? Where's her sons? Is this the Naomi that we knew? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi. Call me Mara. For the Almighty had dealt very bitterly with me. I don't know, you can kind of sense or know in her heart that had to be difficult. To lose your husband would be difficult. To lose a son would be even greater difficult. To lose another son, and then to go back home and to feel like God had deserted. And so she says, God had dealt with me, and so don't call me Naomi. I went out being Naomi. I'm coming back being Mara. So I went out full, she says in verse 21. I went out full, and the Lord had brought me home again, empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing that the Lord had testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. So it's important for you and I to see here, there are times that God allows, permits, whatever if you will, times of affliction for God's people. God has a plan. God has a purpose. You say, well, whatever could be the plan and the purpose in this? Well, there's a very definite, there's a messianic plan in this. That it was through Ruth, if you're not aware, but we're going to get to that in just a moment. But it was through Ruth and her commitment to Naomi to stay with her. Her commitment to find her kinsman redeemer. Her commitment that through Ruth is mentioned in the genealogy and the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they have a son called Obed, which has a son called Jesse, which leads down through the lineage of David, which leads us to Jesus Christ. So important to see that here in the Scripture. So here we find Ruth. So what does Ruth do? She just begins to serve. She had a servant's heart. I love her servant's heart. Look at it in chapter 2 there. It said Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's. Now notice this here. This is where the kinsman redeemer comes into play. Said a mighty man of wealth, the family of Elimelech. So here it is. His name is Boaz. Boaz is a wealthy man. Boaz is related to Elimelech, which would be Naomi's father-in-law, and he was a wealthy man in the land. So Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, look at the plan. The plan is, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her daughter, Naomi says to Ruth, go, my daughter. You almost see the relation. Now, this is her daughter-in-law, but she says, go, my daughter. It's kind of like adopted into the family, that you become family and close-knit and tight. So she went in verse 3 and came and gleaned in the field right after the reapers, and her hap was to the light of the part of the field beginning unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came to Bethlehem and said unto the reapers in verse 4, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. And then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? I don't know about you, but I always kind of interesting to see, you know, who caught whose eye first? Did you catch your wife's eye first, or she caught your eye first, or who, you know, here it is, interesting. Ruth wasn't looking for a husband, but here she is gleaning in the field, and so Boaz and Ruth was fair to look upon, and so Boaz looks up there and says, who is this? I can kind of, you know, I, not in a situation like this, but I know when I went to Bible college, I was done dating, I was done with the relationships, and I went, I'm going to focus on seminary and Bible college. And I got there in January, and that month I saw a girl, and I said, who is this? So I learned a little bit. 2 months later, we were engaged. 1 year later, we were married. So here, Boaz, it's interesting. So, you know, if you want to know, I sought Nita out first. I'm glad she said yes, and because she could have said no. So when you look at it here, it said, behold, Boaz came, and he says here. And then Boaz said in verse 5 to his servant, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, now notice this now, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even unto the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. And then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter, go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. So you see, it got the attention of Boaz, and he brings her in to the other part of the family and there with him. And he said, let thy eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them, and have I not charged the young men? I love this here. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go to the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. So definitely Ruth got the attention here of Boaz. And now we find that God had not only his attention, but now he puts a protective shield around her, tells everybody else, stay away from her. No other eyes for Ruth. And Boaz was really trying to protect her. And so notice what she does here in verse 10. She fell on her face, bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, unto Boaz, why have I found grace in thy eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Here she comes from a strange land. Here she comes and not knowing, you know, God, why are you showing this kindness to me? Why are you, and this is, you know, the love story begins to unfold a little bit by little bit by little bit. And now we find Boaz is protecting her. Ruth is trying to sort out why he's showing grace unto me. Who am I that you would take a total stranger in and then show kindness and grace? Boaz answered in verse 11, he said unto her, it hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto the people which thou hast knewest not heretofore. And the Lord recompense thy work, and full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come. And then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord. For thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaidens. This is bringing in a total stranger, and he's showing total kindness. And you can see the relationship continuing to build and to build along through here and through this. And when she was risen up to glean in verse 10, Boaz, notice what Boaz said in verse 15, commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And notice this now, he's kind of helping out a little bit. He says, let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. In other words, I want you to help Ruth out. We're going to leave some harvest in the field. She can glean that harvest. She can take it back to Naomi. And you can see the love relationship, the attention here. Boaz continued to glean towards her. And so she gleaned in the field until that evening and beat out that she had gleaned in verse 17 and was about the ephah of barley. And then she took it up, went into the city, and her mother-in-law, Naomi, saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law, Naomi, said unto Ruth, where hast thou gleaned today? And where oughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us. One of our next kinsmen. Here's where the kinsman redeemer comes into play. And so Ruth the Moabite has said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with the maidens and they meet thee not in any other field. And so she kept the fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest and the dwelt with her mother-in-law. You know what's so interesting, fascinating now, is that by this we find the relationship gets even stronger, and now Naomi's going to be the matchmaker and to try to bring even Boaz and Ruth even closer together and in this relationship. So notice what her mother-in-law says to her. It says in verse 1 of chapter 3, said, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, what shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. So Naomi knew where Boaz was going to be. Naomi knew what was going on. Naomi knew that Boaz had showed kindness to Ruth, and she knew where Boaz was going to be on the threshing floor. She set it all up. So what does she tell Ruth to do? Verse 3, wash thyself, therefore, anoint thee, put thy raiment upon thee, get thee down to the floor, the threshing floor, and make not thyself known unto the man, unto Boaz, until he shall have done his eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lies down, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down at his feet there, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me I will do. Boy, you really see a good bond between this mother-in-law, between Ruth, and between Naomi. So in verse 6, she goes down unto the threshing floor, and according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And then Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry. He went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came, Ruth came softly, uncovered his feet, and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid, turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. So I find it's interesting, she stayed focused and took the guidance of her mother-in-law. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do thee all that thou requires, for all the city of my people doth know that thou... Now notice this, now this is so important about Ruth. She is a virtuous woman. She is a godly woman. She chose to serve the gods of Naomi. She is an upright person. And then verse 12, and now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Boaz is saying to Ruth, I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, is there a kinsman nearer than I? Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning. And if he will perform unto thee the part of the kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of the kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of the kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. And she lay at his feet until the morning. She rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came under the floor. And he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, Naomi, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty into thy mother-in-law. Then said she, sit still, my daughter-in-law, until thou know the matter will fall, and for the man will not set at rest until he have finished the thing in this day. So now we see that Ruth has come as rewarded. What an interesting story as it comes. And by this, you keep in mind that she lost her shield of protection. She lost, and a husband in that day was really the family, was the protecting shield. And you know, that's biblically, that's true. Men are to protect their wives. Men are to look out for their wives. Husbands are to protect their family and their wives and to look out. And so we find once Elimelech is gone, once Mahlon is gone, once Chilion is gone, the women become vulnerable. And we find here that Naomi, you can see in her heart there a little bit of maybe bitterness, a little bit of, you know, God had dealt with me and afflicted me, and but now... we see here she's navigating and help Ruth to weave her way through this relationship with Boaz. And so the Bible says that Boaz went up to the gate, set him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by unto him and said, "Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here." He turned aside and sat down. And then he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit ye down here." And they sat down. He said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that has come again, it says here, out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise this, saying, but it before the inhabitants and before the elders of the people, if thou will redeem it, redeem it. But if thou will not redeem it, then tell me, and I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. And then said Boaz, what day will thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi? Thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon the inheritance. And the kinsman said, there was an opportunity here for somebody else to be the kinsman here, but it said, and the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in the former time of Israel concerning the redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore, the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe, and Boaz said unto the elders and all the people, you're witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the land and of the hand of Naomi. And moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, and the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses, and the Lord make the woman that has come into thy house like Rachel, remember that, of Jacob, and Leah, which the two did build the house of Israel and do worthily in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem, and let the house be like those of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, and of the seed of which the Lord shall give thee unto this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when we went in, and when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. Now here's where the messianic part, the Lord Jesus, where this comes into play in verse 14. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thy old age, and for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, and which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child, laid it in her bosom, and became a nurse unto it, and the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, which was not Naomi, it was through Naomi to Ruth, and they called his name Obed, and he's the father of Jesse, he's the father of David. Through the lineage of David came the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, now these are the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron, Hezron begat Ram, Ram begat Abinadab, Abinadab begat Nashon, and Nashon begat Solomon, Solomon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. So we find here in this kinsman redeemer, God had a plan and had a purpose, and you'll never understand how difficult it is in that day. And upon Naomi's affliction, you look at it and you say, it was through many of the deeds that Naomi did along the way. She lost her husband, she lost her son, she lost another son. She became a mother to her daughters-in-laws, and then she became a matchmaker of matching up Boaz to Ruth, and through Ruth and through Boaz, through this lineage, came down through the ancestry to the genealogy of Christ. What a great love story in that. What a great story in all the Bible, and to see how God preserved that. And there's not many women mentioned in the Bible, but this great story here, there are many women mentioned, but this is a pretty special, unique relationship with Ruth. And so when you think about that, out of tragedy, out of heartache, out of difficulty, out of famine, out of a struggle, comes a kinsman redeemer. So when you think about it today, as I said in the very beginning, our kinsman redeemer today we have is the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of the difficulty, out of the struggles of life, out of our sinful nature, and the Bible is very clear that there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our kinsman redeemer, your kinsman redeemer, to redeem you, to buy you back, to give you eternal life, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Boaz was Ruth and Naomi's kinsman redeemer, our redeemer today, and I pray that you know him. I pray you've trusted in him. If you don't know him today, he can save your lost soul. He can forgive you of your sin. He can bring you through the greatest challenges and the difficulties of life. We just saw it with Naomi, losing family. And it's always difficult when you lose a family person right here. And so Naomi did. And through all this, yet God. And you know, you got to understand, there probably was a little bit of bitterness. You can feel the weight of Naomi through this. But the good part, you see, in that she helped and she stuck with Ruth through all this. And Ruth said, wherever you go, Naomi, wherever you go, I'll go. The other Orpha turned back and went back to the other false gods and false idolatry and did not follow them. One went one way, one went the other. Ruth followed Naomi, and through that we find was faithful and came in contact with Boaz, her kinsman redeemer. And so we see through here that Boaz took responsibility to be the protecting shield for Naomi, to be the protecting shield for Ruth, and to be in that relationship, and then took Ruth as his wife and loved her, and through that came Obed, and through that came down through time the Lord Jesus born that can take away our sin, our kinsman redeemer today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, today we pray if there's one here that's not saved, that they've never asked Jesus Christ to come into their heart. God, may they realize today that you love them, and they may be going through maybe times of affliction or challenges or heartache or pain or struggle, God, whatever it is, that we have a kinsman redeemer that loves us and wants to give to us eternal salvation through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. So God, today I pray if there's one here that's not yet saved, they've not yet trusted Christ, they've not yet believed in this kinsman redeemer of the Messiah, God, that they would do so today. And we oftentimes know that through the afflictions and the struggles of life, along the way, we see good things come out of that. Just like we see right here in the book of Ruth. What a great message of Naomi and Ruth's kinsman redeemer. And what even a greater message than that is our kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. With every head bowed and every eye closed today, my friend, if you're here and you're not sure you're saved, you're not sure that you've ever trusted and accepted the gift of salvation today, God is offering you that gift of salvation if you'll just trust Him, believe in Him, and accept Him as your Lord and Savior. And I want to help you to be able to do that if you've never done that. I'll walk you through a simple prayer that you can pray today and open your heart to your kinsman redeemer. Just pray this prayer right where you're set. It's not between you and me, it's between you and God. If you need to be saved, you want to trust Christ, you want to trust this kinsman redeemer today. Just pray this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I recognize that I am a sinner and that I cannot save myself. And God, I confess my sin to you today. The Bible's clear that I confess with my mouth and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So God, I confess my sin. I believe today in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I accept you as my kinsman redeemer today for eternal life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you look up here, if you will, let's stand together today as we give a verse of invitation. If you want to come to pray, the altar is open. If you are here and you trusted Christ today, we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to talk with you about that. We'd love to give you a Bible and to help you in your decision for Christ today. If you want to talk about church, First Baptist, joining the church, or if you want to come just to pray on your own, go back, that's fine too. Whatever the need, as Brother Ron leads us today, you come. And we invite you to come to an old-fashioned altar today.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art
God's people said, amen. Just be seated just for a moment, and we just ask you to pray for those that are praying today. And I don't know about you, but it's exciting to know that you have a kinsman redeemer that is offered to you, that no matter what affliction or struggle or what it is you're going through in life, he's there, and he's our protection, he's our shield, he's our comfort, and he's our help along the way. And we have coming today a young man, Kevin. And thank you, Debbie. It's been a privilege to have Kevin Hatkow. Did I say that right? Hatkow? Okay. And Kevin's been coming here for a little bit in the services, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And we're so glad he's been coming. And he says he's saved, knows the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, and has followed the Lord in believer's baptism by immersion. And he wants to unite with the church and make this his church home and church family. And we're excited, Kevin, that you've come and to unite with First Baptist Church. So if you're glad he's come, made that decision today, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, Kevin, we're glad that you have done that. And I'm going to ask if you would, maybe Brad, if you can help us out. And we'll have you walk with Kevin. Just go back there by those glass doors. This is Brad Schellenberger, Kevin. It's safe as long as you're with him. And follow him. They'll stand back by the doors back there. And give you a chance to go by, you know, if you want to do an elbow. I know you're not shaking hands now or whatever, but just let him know you're glad he's come. and that to unite with First Baptist Church. We're glad he's here. He's been faithful in coming to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and works at Ford Motor Company, and that. So we appreciate Kevin coming and being with us here. So service is tonight at 6 o'clock, and I don't know that there's any other announcements. I trust you enjoy the rest of your Valentine's Day today. And we'll just share with you that our annual business meeting is required by Constitution bylaws. It's always the last Sunday night of the month of February. So the 2 weeks out from now on Sunday night will be our annual business meeting. And we always put out a report at the end of the year. We also put those at the end of the business meeting in the racks around the church. And so if you don't get one here at the business meeting, you're welcome to get one coming and going. So we just kind of report to the church. And then we also, too, will elect our deacons for another year. The deacons serve from year to year, 1 year at a time. And so we'll present that and vote on that during the annual business meeting. So other than that, they have a ladies' craft weekend coming up. I gave you some dates to put on your calendar, February 25th to the 27th. And then you have March dates and April dates there just around the corner. So good to be in the Lord's house today. Let's stand together. Good to see you. And we'll be praying for Kevin as he comes and unites with the church. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, God, today we love you. Thank you for the opportunity to be here in the Lord's house on the Lord's Day. God, you've been good to us. We thank you that you are our kinsman redeemer. What a great love story in the Bible that talks about Naomi and Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion and now Ruth and how all this comes together, meeting her kinsman redeemer that became a protector and a shield for her, and then taking her as a wife, and through Ruth, then we see through that genealogy comes the Savior. And so, Father, we thank you for that. Thank you for the Bible that makes it real and alive, that we can understand these love stories in the Scripture. And just have your hand upon each family represented here today, and God will be sure to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.